and welcome everyone to another episode of the After Buzz Podcast. My name is Nico at Jimmy and your host of the After Buzz, and of course with me is Buzz Adams.
Hello.
Good afternoon, evening, morning, wherever you're at.
Middle of the night.
Yeah. This is the After Buzz. We're going to talk today about two different things. One, I wanted to bring up something we just finished the morning show with. We were talking about Kanye West's new apology to everyone.
Well, he's got a new album coming out Friday, but I do believe he's legitimately mentally ill, which was basically
the claim
he was making in the apology.
Which it was kind of hard to even...
He's thrown brain damage into the mix, though.
He has, and he has talked about, like, the therapy he's gone to and the medication he's on now, and, like, how he... So here's the thing. He has what's called bipolar 1 disorder. And
is that the worst kind or
no? It's they're just separated into how it happens. Bipolar is a manifestation of mental health disorder where you go from depressed, which feeling incredibly low, can't move out of your bed, can't do anything to shower, to cook, to going.
I call that Mondays.
I know, right? To the opposite end, which is manic. And you know the best way to describe what mania is. People, okay.
Is it the opposite of depression?
Well, it's not just, no, it is the opposite of depression, but it's to a much different degree. Do you remember the movie Requiem for a Dream?
Sure.
Do you remember the mom?
Mm-hmm.
What was
who was on the weight loss medicine?
And do you remember what she would do when she was on it? So they would show her.
That movie's all kind of a blur to me now.
It's a fucked up movie to begin with, but she gets hooked to these diet things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like fen. Basically, it was like amphetamines or diet pills. And they show her cleaning a lot because you just have so much energy.
Well, that sounds like methamphetamine.
It is methamphetamines. So that methamphetamines can lead to a form of psychosis that is similar to a manic state. So if you want to think about a meth head and a manic person, kind of similar. Okay. Both people feel extremely good.
So is it when if he's bipolar, Kanye we're talking about, is it during his manic period that he says that he loves Hitler and hates, you know, says anti-Semitic stuff?
Yeah.
Which is it?
Yeah, it's the manic part. And
well, that's not good.
It's not.
I was thinking, like, I've had depression. I don't like that. I might be interested in the manic part, but I guess probably not.
The most insidious part of it is you feel amazing. You feel so alive, so energetic. Your brain is moving at 1,000 feet per second. You think so fast.
God, I haven't felt that in decades.
Yeah, but it's also too much because you're thinking things that aren't true. Feeling things that aren't real. You're feeling invincible. You're feeling like you could do anything.
Like how an AI companion can trick you into feeling.
Kind of. This is much more of the chemistry of the brain that's getting you there. Okay. You could feel like you could fly. You could literally feel like you could fly.
And you'd act on that?
And you might
like
act
out
on,
of a balcony window?
You might
window?
Just jump out of a balcony window because you feel so alive, so powerful. It's a very, very insidious disease. People get into car accidents. People get into high-risk sexual acts because of it. There's a lot of downsides to this manic portion. And what makes it bipolar 1 versus bipolar 2 is how frequent you get the manic versus depression. Like, are you going to be manic for a month, 2 months, 3 months?
A month?
Oh, yeah. Maybe half a year before you go back into the bipolar.
They have meds that are effective for the treatment of this?
They do. The problem is with meds is that they make you not feel good anymore. They make you feel bad. They make you feel like your brain is not fast anymore. They make you feel like you're coming down.
Can the manic feeling be addictive in itself?
It can be in itself. That's why the compliance on meds is so hard for bipolar disorder patients is because they stop once they start feeling good again. They go, I don't need these medicine.
And
these medicine.
Are you saying that you should, in most cases, be on them forever?
Yes.
Because a lot of people don't like that proposition at all.
Yeah, which is unfortunate because that unfortunately is a lifelong condition that you will have to manage. Now, there are other things, of course, like diet, exercise, things that you can control on your own. Not putting yourself in certain situations that might trigger certain feelings that way. So what we're watching is a real mental health disorder, but we were watching it in public on primetime TV, played out by this man who had access to money, to publicity.
I mean, and he wanted the publicity, right?
He wanted all of it.
Or he wanted the attention.
He wanted all the attention. And what's really sad is that there was nobody in his life to sit him down and go, look, this is...
You're in a state of mental manic. You're in a manic state.
I think a lot of
people... You need to quit talking when you're in this state.
And one of the side effects is paranoia, too. You develop...
Oh, you're trying to trick me, you Jewish devil, or
yes,
whatever.
Yes, or I think that's when he was getting mad at... when the divorce happened, they were trying to get him into some type of program, and he was saying, they want to control me, they want to put me on meds, they want to take me down.
Now, some people are saying that Kanye's apologized before, right before an album's about to come back and then goes back, but I guess that goes with the whole manic depressive.
Because you might, when you're in the depressed part, you might go, fuck, what did I do? I feel so bad about all that stuff that I shouldn't have done that. And then you might just come flying high again. It's sad. What I think it is, it's just sad. Everybody who was commenting on Kanye, and we were just watching a man.
Well, it's hard to avoid it.
It's absolutely hard to avoid. When you're that much of a public figure and you are putting your...
And you're really doing some extreme, saying some extreme things.
He wanted to run for president. Do you remember that? He had Nick Fuentes as his campaign director.
The white supremacist, neo-Nazi Nick Fuentes.
He set up...
By the way, Fuentes...
Yeah, Hispanic, right? That is a perfect encapsulation of the stupid times we live in, where somebody can hold an opinion and be completely the opposite of what you would.
I guess Spain had their Nazis,
sure,
too.
They did. But you know, Nick Fuentes was online, I guess, a couple weeks ago, and he started this whole thing against J.D. Vance's wife, Usha Vance, saying. How does the he's trying to basically get support away from J.D. Vance, saying, how can we trust this guy with an Indian wife?
And I don't think she's Indian. I think she's a very dark-skinned Jewish American.
Usha Vance? I believe she is Indian.
Oh, she is. It's Stephen Miller's wife. Stephen Miller. I thought, if anybody looked, you know, like Southeast Asia, I thought it would be her. But I think she's just a very darkly skinned.
She might be Hispanic.
You think? You know what? We're just speculating.
We're just speculating.
I don't know. But Usha, yes, Usha, I was confused. Indian. Absolutely Indian.
And Nick Fuentes was trying to say that we can't have a guy with that wants brown. He
used a slur that I'd never heard of before for Indian people. Like, I don't even know that slur.
Right. I don't want to repeat it or look for it. But just isn't it how ironic that a guy named Fuentes is going to try and say that J.D. Vance can't be president. We shouldn't support him because he's going to have... a brown wife in the White House. It's like we live in the stupidest of times. But in the controversy with Nick Fuentes and some other influencers, a couple weeks ago, they went to a Miami nightclub. They were videoed partying and hyped up to a song called Heil Hitler by
Kanye West.
Kanye West. And the DJ got in trouble. Now the DJ is saying what?
The DJ came out and said, they tricked me into playing it. They requested it, and I played it. I think the first time I heard Heil Hitler, maybe I would have done one of those pulling the needle off the like that. Oh, hold on a second. This is a fun-loving nightclub. We're not here to heil anybody.
Well, the worst part is that the song actually has like a good beat, so if you weren't paying attention if you weren't paying attention to the words...
And a lot of people don't.
What?
I don't always.
Right. No, yeah, I don't either. But once I heard the Heil Hitler part, that's when this record would scratch. Absolutely. So there are some other influencers that were with...
Which part is it, manic or depressive, where he makes his new wife go outside naked all the time? I mean, naked.
Well, that actually is part of mania, is hypersexuality.
And he was crediting in his apology, you took out a full page apology ad in the Wall Street Journal. He was saying it's thanks to his wife. This
Sensori.
And I'm like, well, she's kind of, you may be walking around saying you're Napoleon, but she's walking around saying she's Marie Antoinette too, just by going along with your craziness.
Yeah.
That's an illustration.
Sure. Sure. Right? No, I think you could say she was an enabler or, she's going along with it at least.
I know she's posted things before where, you know, it's like, I love my husband, but dear God, help him see the light or whatever. It's like, Well, you're going literally naked outside.
For him. Right.
Because that's what he's into, I guess.
Well, he's talked about having a porn addiction before. Again, mania does...
Hey, he's a man.
Right. Mania does result in sometimes hyper sexuality. That's where, like, there could be an insurance salesman with a perfect family life, and for some reason he's going out for hookers, street hookers all the time, like, and gets STDs, you know? I mean, it's a really destructive disorder in a lot of people's lives that if they don't get it, you know, handled.
But you say there is effective medication.
There are absolutely effective medications. One, not 100% effective. Two, they come with side effects. They come with side effects that some people feel are worse than the disease themselves. You know, schizophrenics, lithium is not a great drug for...
It's not?
No, it makes you completely sleepy, it makes you zombified, basically, but that is the
treatment. Nirvana song.
All right, lithium, that's the treatment. Anyways, there are some other influencers with Andrew Tate and at this Miami nightclub. I just feel like we're living in a world where mental health and this mania and people are with mental health disorders and it's completely not being addressed.
Well, I think we've always had mental health
problems.
But most of the time, the person walking down the street screaming at nobody there
is obvious.
Is not an influencer of anybody.
Right.
They don't get an online following. You got people who, as you're describing it, have these pretty severe... mental illnesses.
Absolutely. And the fact that Kanye was such a public figure, it just amplifies everything that he's going to be doing. So some of these influencers are into really terrible trends. I wanted to highlight one named Clavicular. Can you just Google him real quick so you can know what he looks like?
He's the guy who breaks his face with a hammer to make himself more handsome?
Yeah. So let's talk about that real quick. There's a trend amongst young people called look maxing. Now...
looked up clavicle.
Why don't you just go to the influencer? Yeah.
That's a Wikipedia article.
Well, maybe it has his picture. I just want you to find his picture. No, it doesn't have his picture. Go to his Instagram then. It was the next one. I mean, anything with pictures. Just go with that.
Isn't it just weird that this neo-fascist movement is so concerned about their pretty faces?
Kind of.
Clavicular.
No, dude, I don't know. Literally, if you looked at the things, there's something right below it.
Yeah, I don't have that.
Yeah, you do. Just click it. Oh,
told
you,
I don't have it.
God, why don't you have Instagram?
I don't know, but I tried to tell you that.
Okay, anyways, he is somebody who looks really good. Basically, the idea is if I was a video game character, how could I max my appearance stats? Oh, there you go.
Wait, that...
Yeah.
He banged up his face?
Well, look at the
like
next
that?
Picture. Look at down there, that one. So...
I think that's Photoshop.
He's definitely somebody who has advocated for doing extreme body modifications to make yourself look better. Like...
Are you getting laid out of this, I wonder? Because it seems like a lot of these guys are incels, no matter how much they claim to know about women.
You know what? I think this is just something that we would like to think, but you know what? How many pretty hot girls did you see in that video of the Miami nightclub and everybody singing Heil Hitler? There were a ton of pretty girls in that club next to those guys. Now, if that's not a sad commentary, I don't know what is. That there's tons of young women who...
So where would I hit my face with the hammer exactly?
Cheekbones, jaw.
I got to break
orbitals.
The bone.
Yeah, so...
What if I mess it up?
That it grows back more prominent. The other thing, they advocate taking hormones and chemicals.
This picture of this ugly motherfucker is not him, is it?
No, that's Jack Doherty.
Oh.
That's somebody else.
Okay. Sorry, Jack Doherty. I don't know what you're into.
But there's other things that they advocate, like taking anabolic steroids.
The guys took steroids, you know, to look like a bodybuilder.
Sure. But taking it at 18 years old to not do anything other than...
18-year-olds where you want to take it because you're playing sports and you want to be bigger because you're hoping to get into college. If you're ever going to take steroids, that's the time you would do it.
Well, that's if you were an athlete. I mean, this is all a guy that's not an athlete.
This is just looking like a preening peacock.
This is just...
And you're willing to hit your face... Hit yourself in the face with a hammer to do it.
Right. And have followers who, you know, listen and pay and are willing to.
You know what? By all means.
Sure.
Get a ball peen hammer. Literally knock yourself out.
I mean, it could go any, look, Maxing could be anything from just making sure you wash your face daily, moisturizing, using sunscreen, to the really.
I am, feel like society has really let down young men.
In a lot of ways,
you know, that their lives are so meaningless that they're turning to scoundrels like this. And not even like cool scoundrels. I mean,
I know.
Nick Fuentes looks like a little twerp.
Really?
His natural environment is the inside of a locker.
Like an 80s bully would have bullied him.
Absolutely. He would have been Ducky in Pretty in Pink.
But now he is the bully. So I think it's interesting. I think, like that, I think you said it perfectly. I think young men have been let down by society. They've turned to tons of weird
I think they ideology. See hot women hanging out with douchebags, and that colors their opinion of all women. You know, you pointed out that in this nightclub video, there were a lot of young hot women.
Yeah.
I think what gets them started is they see hot women hanging out with douchebags. That leads them to devalue all women based on that.
Absolutely.
And to lionize the douchebags that they see in these things.
Absolutely.
Am I on to something?
I think you're completely right. There was a video I wanted to play for you last week of two of these influencers talking to each other, smoking a cigar, wearing tuxedos, and the only conversation was about how they only want pretty women to be on their arm, but they would never let them speak. If they brought them around friends or at a meeting, that one of them brings hot women to business meetings because men respect other men with hot women on their arms. But he
guys,
does,
this is overthinking human relations.
But he doesn't let them talk. Mm. She wouldn't be heard at all. We wouldn't let her speak.
That sounds healthy.
It's this weird ideology of manhood and
I wonder
and
what Hitler would think of these neo-Nazis. Honestly, what would Hitler's opinion?
I do not. What is this? What is that?
Fascist das Carvecular.
I think you
Mit
said
Hammer.
I think you said it perfectly right now. That is a really good encapsulation of young men being let down and them just turning to weird things.
Have any of them ever worked a real day in their life? No, you can't say. You don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Some like I think one of the influencers I'm talking about, he was in that list that you gave earlier. I don't know his name off the top of my head. He started in construction, and he owns a big construction company now, like a multi-global construction company.
And he's an alt-right influencer?
Absolutely. He was with them
Would
in
you
Miami.
Have anything to do with his company if you knew that that's what he's all about?
I wouldn't. No, absolutely.
Even if you were already doing business with him, you would say, that's enough for me. I'm out.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Should the nightclub have turned these guys away?
They have issued an apology.
Or was it like
the nightclub issued an apology? And now, I didn't know this, but apparently they are banned from all nightclubs in Miami now. Maybe, or before. Maybe this is the last.
And the Tate brothers, aren't one or both of them wanted on sexual
trafficking charges in Romania.
In Romania?
Right.
I don't know if you've ever seen any videos out of Romania, but it seems like anything fucking goes in Romania.
It's kind of hard to get in trouble.
Right. What are you doing?
So anyway, I just wanted to bring this up because I thought it was interesting that Kanye West is now kind of going back. Look, trends tend to ebb and flow, so I'm just wondering, will we see a flow back into...
Maybe we should stop listening to him.
We should, but you know, you brought up the other day about watching all the Oscar movies because they are, or at least used to be, a cultural touchstone that we could all gather around.
Well,
and
they
talk
don't have
about.
To be Oscar movies. I mean, well, plenty of movies that never were nominated.
I'm saying that you do it because you may not like the movies, but you want to have something to be able to talk about as a cultural touchstone with an audience.
I want to drop an Aunt Gladys reference when it's appropriate.
But I brought up that I think that idea of everybody having the same cultural touchstones to talk about is gone. That media entertainment has been so chopped up and made into niches that you might be into something that somebody else never even hears about or gets. Demon Hunter thing. How many people were talking about Demon Hunter when it was going on and none of us
So many
it?
That I felt pressure to watch the damn thing.
But we never did.
We did not.
Because it's not in our niche. And what's happening...
Niche.
Well, yeah, if you were French, I guess you'd say niche.
Well,
niche.
I've read Nietzsche.
Okay. Idiot. But I think what's happening is there's no male role models for as a generation to look up to. Everybody's finding...
Captain America. That'd be a good one.
Chris Evans?
No, Captain America.
Oh, just Captain America himself. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, punching Nazis.
He looked maxed pretty hard.
Hey,
it's called
you don't
a
have
secret
to
soldier serum.
I guess that's true. But neo-Nazis, you don't have to hit yourself in the face with a hammer. Just cross Captain America, Steve Rogers, and he'll
hit you
right
in the face for you. What? Maybe we need to have a discussion about more diverse role models and finding where these kids are going to, because they're going to dark, deep places for it. And
I think the more you try to engineer that, the more it's going to come off as
push people into that
inauthentic.
Yeah, probably. All right. The other thing, speaking of manliness, I'm all into the TV show Landman. It's a Paramount.
They got that Billy Bob Thornton.
They got Billy Bob Thornton.
He still like them French fried taters.
No, you know, if anything, he most closely is playing his Bad Santa character with a Texas accent.
I watched the first episode.
Oh, you did?
I watched the first episode of Landman.
Oh, you did?
I found it hard to believe that somebody who's involved in like real estate leases and stuff ends up being possibly tortured by drug cartel bosses. And that was the first episode.
That's how it starts. Actually, so looking into this more often, yes. You know, in these big stretches of land where the oil fields are, where there's nobody out there, Mexican cartels use them as places to exchange drugs, whether it's coming from a prop plane that they land onto a road somewhere out there and then put into cargo vans or whatever. And what they do is they don't use their own planes or vans or machines. They steal the oil companies. What they'll do is they'll take the...
Wait. This is as portrayed on Landman.
No,
is this the way it's in
this
real
is,
life?
I was also looking this up. What oil companies have found that their equipment will go missing, okay? Their trucks, their vans, their airplanes will go missing. And then they'll be returned 3 weeks later.
Did they at least fill it back up?
Oh, maybe. But the reason the cartels are stealing this equipment is because it's untraceable to them. They'll steal it, then give it back. The oil companies, they can't report every single piece of equipment that goes missing every time because it happens so frequently that they would end up buying fleets every single week of new cars and new
equipment.
Well,
it sounds like I should be in Odessa, not Minneapolis.
Yes.
Right? I mean,
people have been saying this. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, a big...
Well, thank you, Landman. You've opened my eyes.
Later on, a big plot point is Billy Bob Thornton's character has to engineer getting the Texas National Guard to do some exercises near the oil area to prevent the cartels from coming in anymore. So it is an interesting aspect of the show, and it is credible. But it makes me just...
Credible was not the word that came to mind when I watched it.
No, I'm not going to say that was exactly... They have Billy Bob Thornton with a bag over his head.
I know, like, and he's like the coolest cucumber you've ever met. He's like...
And they just shoot somebody right next to him.
He's basically like a West Texas James Bond.
No, you should keep watching. You would love the soundtrack. Every piece of the music is this old Texas country music. Isn't that your favorite type of country?
Yeah,
like
red dirt.
Texas country. It's Texas country.
Robert Earl King.
That's the soundtrack for the whole fucking show.
I probably like that.
Also, you know how in Bad...
They got any ZZ Top in there?
Well, I haven't heard... Like, what's the famous one? I haven't heard that yet, but...
It would fit.
It probably would fit. You know Billy Bob Thornton's character in Bad Santa, how he's kind of funny in that movie, too. He's got this dry humor that's just kind of like, I can't, what the, did you see Bad Santa?
Yeah, in theaters when it first came out.
Do you remember the kid that he partners up with in the first one?
The kid with the advent calendar?
Yeah.
The little fat, curly-headed kid?
Yeah, the little fat, curly-headed kid.
Sure.
And Billy Bob Thornton goes, what's your name, kid? And he goes, Thurman. He goes, what's your last name? Merman. Your fucking name is Thurman Merman. Like, that's how the he plays his character in Lead Man.
Well, your name's Billy Bob, dude.
Hilarious. The other thing, I didn't know about the Texas oil industry until I've heard of the Texas oil industry. Everybody knows people made it big in oil in Texas. And
were your parents ever into Dallas?
The TV show?
Yeah.
No. Was it about oil men?
It was all about the oil business.
JR, was he an oil man?
Yeah, JR didn't have to face off against violent cartel members very often, but yeah, it was all about the oil business.
Well, see, the reason that they have a guy like Billy Bob Thornton is because the leases for the land where you want to get the oil from, they're held privately by all kinds of random people across the world, I guess. So these landmen have to go find you and try and get that lease for your land. I want to drill on that land. Lease,
but you got to find the person first.
You got to find him. And so that's a real job. That's a real, real job. Also, like, Jerry Jones shows up in the TV show.
Okay.
And I was looking at it, and I was like, why is Jerry Jones talking? As Jerry Jones, he shows up to John Hamm's character, who's the oil executive.
John Hamm is in it?
Yeah, John Hamm. He plays the oil executive. Right. Demi Moore is his wife in that. And I'm like, did Jerry Jones, was he in oil? And then I had to Google it, looked it up. Yeah, Jerry Jones, Oil and Lease, 1970 is when he started it.
Mm-hmm. There's a great documentary about the Cowboys that goes deep into Jerry Jones' background.
What's it called?
I forget, but Steve would know. Why don't you ask him on your way out?
Yeah, I will ask him. Jerry Jones started this oil and lease company. He was doing the leases, trying to get the leases for oil thing.
He leveraged everything he had just to buy the Cowboys, though.
Well,
I think it was $100 million.
It was not a lot. They were actually considered cheap at the time because they were not a good team in 1989.
They were the worst in 1989.
But
I think they had one win that season.
He was this close to bankruptcy until the gas crisis in 1973, and it made all of his shit worth tons of money. You remember the gas crisis in 1973, right? What was that like? Did you have to ration a lot?
I know you're joking, but I can remember them showing on the news lines of cars, dozens, scores of cars lined up waiting their turn to get gas, and they were rationing it. You could only get a certain amount.
And the price shot up, like cost a ton for a gallon of gas at the time.
But on the other hand, I can remember paying 89 cents for a gallon of gasoline at one point, too.
It was probably considered high at that time, too.
It might have been.
Well, Jerry Jones is considered a genius now, but looking back, like, you could just say that about anybody that got lucky. He was lucky that there was a crisis, basically. There's tons of people who, and that's the other thing I realized, there's way more people who try to make money in oil than actually made money in oil. It's like buying a lotto ticket a lot of times. Like, there's way more lucky people than there are people who just really plowed through, you know? Luck has a lot to do with oil. Anyways,
I'm an oil man. My name's Daniel Plainview.
There will be.
I drink your milkshake.
If you gave me $200,000, I could make us an oil company.
You just said it's like buying a lottery ticket. And now you're turning around saying, I need to give you money to get into the oil business?
It looks fun.
And by the way, I do feel like if you're talking about Texas, you do have to say the oil business.
Business.
Like that.
Oil business. Mm-hmm. Apparently, there's still a lot of oil left around here.
It is a depletable source, however.
So it's
not a renewable source.
I told you about my great-grandfather who was a rancher. Two ranches.
Was he out one day shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude? Well, the first thing you know, what would you?
Is that the Beverly Hillbillies?
That's the plot. He's shooting at a rabbit, and oil comes up, and all of a sudden he's so rich he has to move to Beverly Hills. They got a cement pond.
They show the roughneck, the workers, how much they make six figures a year.
Probably hard work, especially in the summer, but if it gets really cold, winter is no treat either.
They operate these pumps 24/7, 365. There's very little chance that
they run three shifts, three eight-hour shifts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's constant.
And guys without a college diploma?
No, two 12-hour shifts.
Oh. That's pretty intense.
People without college diploma, convicts.
Well, ex-cons, right? Ex-cons, they don't have like a work release for the, or maybe
they
do.
Might even. You know? Yeah, I don't know. But you're making $180,000 on the senior end. You start probably at 90.
So yeah, it's hard to get paid that much, pretty much anywhere else.
Without a degree or without a. And so these guys, they show them their cars paid off, their houses are paid off already. Here's where it comes though. That's on the boom times. Oil is what they say a boom bust cycle. It's constantly going up, and like there will be a bust at some point.
I drove through Midland and Odessa a couple weeks ago. No, just
recently.
Weeks ago.
Did you notice anything?
Yes, they had built what looks like a dormitory, but the biggest dormitory. I mean, this thing had to be 15 stories tall,
like an apartment complex.
And you could tell from the outside by the size of the balcony that the apartments were just enough to live in. I mean, this wasn't for a family. This was for a single individual. And I was thinking, they're probably building those for oil workers to have a place to stay. It was a huge complex.
Aren't the hotels really hard to find in Midland, or really expensive because of that reason?
They can be, yeah.
That's what I always heard. Mm-hmm. I also knew a couple of guys.
I don't know if that is in flux or not, but.
Well, because of this boom bust cycle, apparently the good times are good, and the bad, like once the bad times roll, the car gets repossessed, the house gets repossessed. If you're not, they say that they spend most of the money they get because they don't know if there's a bust coming soon.
Mm.
That sounds like a pretty.
I think wouldn't you want to save your money if that was the situation? Hey, I don't know when the times are going to get lean, so I'm going to sock away as much of this money as possible.
I would think so. I would think if you were smart and absolutely, instead of putting it all into your car or house or whatever. A lot of them have families, though, so I'm sure that they want to spend.
Well, it sounds like hard work.
The second episode, a whole crew dies from a pumping exploding. It's considered the most dangerous work, civilian work that's not Army related. Okay. I guess based on accidents that happen per year for it.
What season are we in on Landman?
They've only made two so far.
Can I just throw out a pitch for latest Game of Thrones prequel,
all right.
Night of the Seven Kingdoms?
All right, let's talk Night of the
really
Seven Kingdoms.
Really freaking good, man. You ought to watch it.
Did you like it because it's much more grounded?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, for a minute, I was sitting there forgetting like some of the Targaryen show up, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I forgot this isn't set in...
You got fucking wizards. I forgot about this.
I forgot this wasn't set in Europe in the 1300s. I think it's been great so far.
I didn't see this last episode. I knew you were going to see it, though.
Remember they were leading up to the joust in the first episode?
Yeah, so he...
At the end of the second episode, they're still not to the joust yet.
Well, I imagine the joust is going to be a pretty high point. There's only six episodes. So each one's how long?
Boy, the first one was an hour or more, and the second one, I'm estimating 45 minutes.
Wow.
So maybe an hour is going to be the average?
It's about a knight who his master dies, and he wants to be a knight himself, right?
Correct.
Could you? I was thinking about that. It was supposedly, if a knight knighted you, that made you a knight.
Well, on this show, that's definitely
that's
what
not exactly. I had always that's not how it was with King Arthur. Maybe
I don't know.
But then they're like, "Well, can you prove that he knighted you? Did anybody see this?" Nah, he just said, "I'm a knight." That why wouldn't you just knight everybody you came across?
You're a knight.
You're a knight.
You're a knight.
Knight. Knight. Knight. Knight. Knight. Knight. Knight.
I mean, they knighted Sir Elton John. I don't know how good he'd be in a tilt, right? Is he really going to, if he were at the Battle of Hastings, is Sir Elton John really going to hold his own?
Maybe in dueling pianos?
Right? He'd have an advantage there, for sure.
Him and Billy Joel. All right. Well, let us know what you guys are watching, if there's anything in particular that you want us to focus in on. Because, again, there's no cultural touchstone that we can get to that everybody is going to be watching. I'm sure there's things that you're watching that we're not and that are pretty cool as well. I'm also going to buy a cowboy hat because of Landman.
Oh, boy. I'm just picturing you with a cowboy hat. Sure that it's your specific idiom.
Again, I'm going to bring in the pictures of my family. My great-grandfather was a rancher. I had cowboy boots since the age of three. So I had the little baby cowboy boots all the time.
Riding rose hips.
I had the pony. I had the baby cowboy hat as well. So I have cowboy hats that don't fit me anymore.
You're a real rootin' tootin' cowboy. There's no doubt.
I am. I'm going to go back to my cowboy roots. All right. I can ride a horse if it leads me to water.
How many times have you ever had to work cattle in your life?
I've thrown the rope. I know how to throw a lasso. We have my grandpa's lasso at the house. Great. I have his saddle.
You seem like the type of guy who's always wanted to be a hat guy, but you just never have found the right hat.
Hats make me itchy. But now I'm afraid to scratch.
Yeah, it's like how we normal people feel when they have hair.
Hats don't make you itchy, like a cap or
I forget that I have them on.
Uh-oh.
For the most part.
I can always tell that I have a cap on. I'm going to bring in my bolo tie. I'm going to bring in my pearl studded, what are the?
Pearl snap
shirt. My pearl snap shirt. Fort Hancock. We'd go down every single weekend to Fort Hancock.
Good luck with your cowboy dreams.
All right.
You're hoping to get one of those hot ladies like on Landman, aren't you?
Dude, the hottest girls are on Landman. Like, whoever his daughter is played by, she's actually 28, but she is a gorgeous model in my eyes. Like, my dream woman.
The ex-wife.
Allie Larder. Oh, my God.
Yes, Allie Larder.
She is gorgeous. Yeah.
I'd almost convert to MAGA to get a girl like that.
Dude, then that I've almost been convinced by Billy Bob Thornton on a lot of stuff. He was basically bitching about wind and solar to this other character. And basically explaining how much worse of a carbon footprint it is to just install just the carbon it takes to make the iron for the windmills. All the iron that it takes.
Yeah, but you're thinking long term. Long term, that investment is
they only last about 15 to 20 years. And plus all the oil and the pads that they have to anchor more oil goes into the cement and the roads that lead up to these than that probably it saves consumption of.
Is Landman sponsored by the oil industry?
No, I don't think. Well, you know what? No, they don't. I don't think so. But it kind of makes sense. I'm not saying I don't believe. They have all of those big ass windmills around the mills around the oil derricks. Because did you know there's no power that goes out to the pump jacks and the oil derricks? No. The oil derricks are powered by the windmills.
So they're using windmills to get oil out of the ground.
Yes. Yes. Isn't that insane? Also, lithium and batteries and solar panels. It's all bullshit, man. So, it's all bullshit.
So you're leaning in with the oil, big oil interests.
It's time for MAGA. All right. That's going to do it for today's episode of the After Buzz podcast. Like I said, let us know what you think. You can email me, nico@klaq.com. You can email buzz@klaq.com. Or you can leave us a message on our neckline. That's 915-521-NECK.
915-521-6325.
6325. All right. That's going to do it for today. Any last words, Buzz?
No, I've said my last words.
All right. Talk to you all next time.